ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura. This morning, text number 49. Those who think this is Krishna speaking to the demigods, he's saying, those who think material assets to be everything or to be the ultimate goal of life are called misers, kripanas. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are two classes of men, namely Kripana and a Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who knows Brahma, the absolute truth, and who thus knows his real interest. A kripana, however, is one who has a material, bodily concept of life, not knowing how to utilize his human or demigod life. A kripana is attracted by things created by the material modes of nature. And the kripanas who always desire material benefits are foolish, whereas brahmanas who always desire spiritual benefits are intelligent. If a kripana, not knowing his self-interest, foolishly asks for something material, one who awards it to him is also foolish. Krishna, however, is not a foolish person. He is supremely intelligent. If someone comes to Krishna asking for material benefits, Krishna does not award him the material things he desires. Instead, the Lord gives him intelligence so that he will forget his material desires and become attached to the Lord's lotus feet. In such cases, although the kripana offers prayers to Lord Krishna for material things, the Lord takes away whatever material possessions the kripana has and gives him the sense to become a devotee. As stated by the Lord in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Marjalila 22:39, Ami vigya e murke vishaya kenadim, swacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiva. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the shelter of the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. If one sincerely prays to God for material possessions in exchange for devotional service, the Lord, who is not so foolish like such an unintelligent devotee, shows him his special favor by taking away whatever material possessions he has and gradually giving him the intelligence to be satisfied only by rendering service to his lotus feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in this regard that if a foolish child requests his mother to give him poison, the mother, being intelligent, will certainly not give him poison, even though he requests it. A materialist does not know that to accept material possessions means to accept poison or the repetition of birth and death. An intelligent person, a brahmana, aspires for liberation from material bondage. That is the real self-interest of a human being. Those who think material assets to be everything or to be the ultimate goal of life are called misers, kripanas. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards That which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. So the demigods, in great anxiety, have approached the Lord, asking him to make arrangements to destroy the demon Vritrasura, created by Tvasta. So the Lord is replying to their request, and he is mildly regretting the fact that, or at least he's expressing his regret fairly mildly, that they've come to him not asking for devotional service, but for the relief of some material distress. So here he's stating, he's letting them know what their position is. Kripana. Prabhupada uses this term a lot, miser. There's a verse, a text somewhere that contrasts these two things, Kripana, Brahmana, and how they deal with a certain asset, the asset of the human form of life, or here, demigod form of life. So those who use human life to inquire into the absolute truth of brahmanas, because that's the what you can realize, the value that can be realized as a human being, the shreya, the ultimate good, your long-term, your final interest, shreya. Prayas is the other contrasting term, meaning my immediate temporary satisfactions. So, Kripana, Prabhupada translates as miser. A miser is a person who has amassed a large hoard of wealth, but does not spend it on anything. So they live in a hovel. Sometimes in New York City we find that they die and their bodies are discovered. Some street person practically lives in some place with stacks of old newspapers and trash and plastic bags full of hundreds of thousands of dollars. They don't spend anything. Somehow or other they collect so much money, they have so much money, but they don't spend it, they just hoard it. And so in spite of having so much wealth, it's not productive, it's not used for anything. They don't live like a wealthy person, they don't realize anything that you can get from some wealth. They might as well have been totally impoverished. So there's a miser. So similarly, a person who has a human form and doesn't realize the value of a human form, that is, the attainment of final self-interest, becoming free from birth and death in the material world, has wasted this asset and is therefore called a kripana. Just like the person who has a huge hoard of gold but never spends it and therefore lives just like someone who is poverty-stricken. So this is kripana. So these people, atma-guna-vastu-drik, are called misers. They are simply attracted by the glaring material nature. So this is saying this to the demigods. So they don't know what their interest is. Attracted by material nature. So one approaches Krishna. Please give me this, some material benediction. Now they're already, we understood, anybody who wants anything material is a fool. Because as soon as a material desire is there, that means that person is implicated in birth and death in the material world. So this is foolishness. Now, if someone goes to Krishna and says, please grant me this benediction, please grant me this benediction, Krishna says, I'll be also foolish if I did that. I would be helping this person commit suicide. I would be engaged in assisting this person to do something that is not for their well-being. So this is the difference between Krishna and the demigods. The demigods will do it. Somebody, you come to them for a benediction, sure, I'll give it to you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. They're specialists in giving benedictions. And sometimes we see people, they'll do like that. They just don't really interested in the long-term welfare of people. Sometimes they just like to have a reputation for handing out money or helping people out, or they buy friends or whatever. We meet people that they give people money. They know it will be misused. They don't care. So this is the method of the demigods also. They just give it out. But Krishna has another a way of dealing with things. So he said he would also be, if someone gave them just what they wanted, then it would also be foolish. So Prabhupada here discusses what Krishna does in such a case. His behavior is a little different. He cites Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's a discussion, same thing. Here, Lord Chaitanya is describing the process of devotional service to this is Majja Lila, volume 8. He's describing the process of devotional service, how a living entity gets it and how it develops. So he's saying that he says one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." So this is the act of surrender. Here he says, very interesting. Krishna tomorahan. Krishna, I am yours. He said, if somebody simply says this, he's immediately freed from the bondage of conditioned life. Prabhupada says, I am your sincere and serious servant. Prabhupada uses these two terms all the time, sincere and serious. He always puts them together. Because serious, sincere, and serious. This means that one is not merely sentimental. Today I am your servant, tomorrow I may not be so. As Prabhupada says, it means that one is really actually willing to put the effort into surrender. It's not that I just simply want to be known as a devotee, or not simply to fool other people, but even so I can say to myself, I'm a devotee. But actually, when it comes down to the actual acts of devotional service, then I shirk back and do not wish to engage in them. No, sincere and serious. Prabhupada once discussed in a lecture the necessity of following regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. And he said, if we do not follow the principles, he says, where is the proof that we love Krishna? So he indicates that there has to be some proof. This is what is meant by sincere and serious. So when there's no proof, we'll have to call it sentimental. This is, sentimental means superficial. An attempt to recreate or to achieve some of the effects of devotional service, but without the depth, the basis that actually should be there. So this is some sentiment. So it should not be sentimental. Sentimental means, oh, we would like to be devotees. We would like to think of ourselves as devotees. It's nice that everyone gets together. It's nice that everyone worships the spiritual master. Oh, look at the deities on their Rath Yatra parade. Oh, look at all the colorful devotees out there chanting Hare Krishna. This is nice. This spiritual movement is taking over the world, and then we all go home, turn on our VCRs, and watch movies. So this is sentimental. All you get is kitsch. You get a pretense. Everybody can say, yes, it's nice. Here's Krishna consciousness, and then go home and kind of create a collective illusion that something is happening, but there's no depth to it. And so the world is already full of churches and cathedrals and mosques where everybody is busy creating these effects so they can congratulate themselves that there's some spiritual life going on, and then everyone goes home and makes arrangements for sense gratification of various kinds. This is sentimental. So Prabhupada says, sincere and serious. So anyway, he continues. Lord Chaitanya has said this, and then when Lord Chaitanya speaks, he always is quoting Shastra, so now he quotes the Ramayana. The Lord speaks again. It is my vow that if one once, only once, seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, abhayam, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So that's part of the act of surrender. Not only we say it is my desire to be your devotee, but then we have to acknowledge, but I do not know if I shall be able to persevere in this task. So please give me the determination to execute your devotional service. I admit I'm not so competent, I'm not so advanced. I may be like hundreds of others of sentimental people. I admitted I'm on the sentimental platform. But now, please give me what I need. I'm asking you. Today I feel like being a devotee. I know when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll be an atheist. Please help me, nevertheless, follow your order. So anyway, he considers this. So now Lord Chaitanya goes on and considers the position of people who want to surrender to Krishna and come to Krishna, but with material desires. We've already been discussing this for some time, the Sakama devotees. We, Prabhupada, has discussed these two, Nishkama, Sakama. Nishkama, pure devotees, no material desires, and Sakama, the demigods. They're devotees with so many material desires. So what to do? So he quotes, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi. Whatever, don't think that now I have so many material desires, I should not approach Krishna. One has just described how one should be pure and not have material desires. Yet I have material desires. Should I stay away from Krishna? Should I instead go to Saraswati or Kali or Ganesh, Bhagavatam says, no. Whoever you are, akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, whether you have no desires or all desires or desire liberation, tivrena bhakti yogina, by all means you should engage in intense devotional service to Krishna. Now, why is that? And then Chaitanya explains. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the Absolute Truth engage in the Lord's transcendental service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. So even if we don't ask for pure devotional service, even if we're going with Krishna and our material desires is so strong that even we're praying to Krishna, please give me pure devotional service, but I don't want to be a poor man either. The one devotee said this to me. I was trying to convince him. His thing was he was going to be rich and then use all his wealth in devotional service to Krishna. But this was his sequence. First he was going to become rich, then he was going to use his money. So I had spent a long time talking to him about, why don't you just serve Krishna and let Krishna worry about whether you become rich or not. And so finally he said, yes, you're right, he said, but I just don't want to be poor like you. He said, so here he has a desire that it's just there, it's so strong, and somehow or other won't let go of it. He's sincere. I mean, he's a very pious person. But he just is captivated by this desire to be rich, a sakama devotee. I said I realized that our movement may is in the danger of increasing the population in the heavenly planets, because so many of us are sakama devotees. The idea of very great, huge amounts of wonderful sense gratification, to be pious, to worship Krishna, to not do anything sinful, yet at the same time to have so much sense gratification, and it's all licit and wonderful. See, here in the material world, in Kali Yuga where we are, practically all the sense gratification you can get is illicit. But in the demigod world, there's incredible sense gratification, and it's all licit. And there are very, very pious people. So everything is very nice. Somehow or other, they have huge amounts of money and they haven't committed any crimes to get it. Here you want a huge amount of money, you have to become a criminal. Right? And break so many rules. Everyone we know who has money is fallen, practically speaking. You can't get it. They say, there's a saying, behind every great fortune, there's a great crime. So this is, but in the higher realms, anyway, they have so many wonderful things there. It's piety. So I've met so many devotees. That's exactly what we would like. So that's we should think about this. Anyway, Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. So we have to say that so many people are captivated by the prospect of wonderful material nature, that they're actually doing like this, giving up ambrosia to drink poison. So then he says this verse here, Ami vigya but I'm very intelligent. Why should I give this murke, this foolish person, Vishaya, Kenadiba, why should I give him Visaya? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet, Swacharanam Nittadiya, and then Vishaya Bulabhya, and I shall make him forget sense gratification. That's Lord Chaitanya, what he says. You're going to change him up. I'm going to switch. So Prabhupada says here, if a person wants material profit from devotional service, Krishna condemns such materialistic desires. To desire material opulence while engaging in devotional service is foolish. Although a person may be foolish, Krishna, being all intelligent, engages him in devotional service in such a way that he gradually forgets material opulence. The point is that we should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. Also, and by the way, we have to be careful. Subtle forms of sense gratification, profit, adoration, distinction also creep in. You also become famous for being poor, like Mahatma Gandhi. You know, it became his style. One of his aides said, if people knew how much money it cost us to keep him in poverty. You know, so, you know, because Gandhi, he always, wherever he went, he had to have a simple thatched cottage with a mud floor, you know, with a dirt floor. So he would go to some city, you know, for some political program, and there were hundreds of thousands of people, wealthy people, come on, stay in my house. No, I can't. I cannot like such opulence, you know. He says, please, stay. No. And so they had to go find some place, build some hut. People had to come and see him, so they couldn't just take some, you know, busty somewhere they had to build, you know. So by the time they finished, it was so expensive to make arrangements, you know. So this way, everything becomes complicated and difficult, even though it appears to be. So these things can sneak up on us. So there's things that are there, profit, adoration, distinction, all these things, big reputation, power, that are not tangible. If we are actually surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, our only desire should be to satisfy Krishna. That is pure devotional service. Surrender does not mean that we demand something from the Lord, but that we completely depend on His mercy. Depend on His mercy. Don't ask for anything. So then, all this is backed up by a Bhagavatam verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore quotes, 5th canto. Satyam dishati artitam artito nirnam naivartado yat punar artida yaha swayam vidate bhajatam anichchatam icha pidanam nijapada palavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches Him with such motives. Material motives. But He does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at His own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. And normally, we've seen when someone's desire is fulfilled, they come back for more. They keep coming back. Somebody fed the cat on the second floor, and then every day we see the cat outside the room at the same place, the same time, waiting again and again. Prabhupada says here, one who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called a Sakama Bhakta. So until we reach pure devotional service, we are Sakama devotees. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kama. Kama means you want something, either bhukti, material, gross sense gratification, mukti, subtle sense gratification, by gaining spiritual knowledge or spiritual powers or liberation, becoming one with the Lord. Siddhi, or the mystic powers by yoga. All these are sense gratification. So until we're pure, this is our Sakama Bhakta. And one who serves the Lord without any motives is called Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a Sakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta. So now all we have to do is say, what's taking so long? A pure devotee, an Akama Bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, even to a Sakama Bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an Akama Bhakta. Let's see what else he says. So, there are two descriptions here, not in this purport, elsewhere. Sometimes Krishna says, I fulfill their desires in such a way that they give them up and instead worship me. But also sometimes he makes them losers in the material sense. He says, Krishna will take away whatever they have until they become completely dependent upon me. That's another mercy of Krishna. That if we have some attachment, and because of that attachment we are not surrendering to Krishna, but instead we are looking for material prosperity and material benediction, then Krishna may also force us to surrender. Out of his kindness, he'll take it away from us. That's also. Sometimes he operates in this way. So Krishna, even though, it says, anicchitam, even though one doesn't desire Krishna's lotus feet, still he's so merciful. He gives that shelter, even though the devotee doesn't want it. One way or another, this is what Krishna does. But he never actually helps a devotee become entangled in sense gratification. That would be, as he says here, foolish. So we should also pray to Krishna that, let me not also be foolish. We should understand that these material enjoyments are there, that we may have so many desires, it's very likely that we are not even conscious of all the material desires that we have. They have this ability we are controlled by them and don't even realize that we're controlled. In fact, probably the strongest desires that we have are ones we're not even conscious of. So just assume that they're there. Just assume that we have motives. Even though I sit down and find myself spotlessly pure, one should immediately, of course, if that's the case, one should immediately understand that I'm a platform of false ego. That a devotee who's advanced never thinks, no, I'm actually, now I'm free from all material desires. So one should assume that I'm motivated in so many ways and always be praying to Krishna, please give me pure devotional service. Please remove my material desires. Don't fulfill them. And the fact is that when Krishna, when pure devotional service develops, then like Dhruva Maharaj, you say, I was so foolish. I was looking for this things from you, but they're trifles. It's trifles. One goes before, ends up before Krishna, like these demigods here. Here they have Krishna himself, right before them, Vishnu himself, and all they're thinking of is this little disturbance caused by this Ritrasura. They could surrender to him, develop pure devotional service, and the Ritrasura business would take care of itself. Krishna can manage that, no problem at all. But they're interested. They come before Krishna, please get rid of Ritrasura. He's causing big disturbance. We have a very nice life going on up here in the upper planets. Everything is fine. We're pious. We're serving you. There's no complaints. And now this Ritrasura, please get rid of him. Thank you very much. We'll go back to our pleasant kingdom. It's not very, it's actually a little insulting. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they come to him like that. But that's what they've done. So he's telling them now. He's telling them what the actual position is of these Sakama devotees. Okay, any questions?
Yes, Dina. Prabhupada directly advises us not that in pure devotional service, which is something dependent upon the worship of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So in the course of our service, then say we want some Lakshmi device, nice deity clothes, whatever. We should not offer any prayer to Krishna if he's delight provides this facility. How does that
One should pray to Krishna to be able, allowed to serve him as he likes. And it seems that Krishna, you want us to dress you, gorgeous decoration and dressing. So the prayer has to go on in two levels. The one, the prayer is you can ask Krishna, please, we'd like to offer you some more opulent dressing. And the other thing is that we take whatever resources we have and also utilize them to the fullest. Many times we're praying to Krishna for something that we already have and aren't using. So Krishna doesn't want to see any energy wasted or anything left over. So that we take what we have and we do the best we can, and then we pray that we can do more. Then Krishna automatically actually will increase more and more and more. But it's not to want to serve Krishna and to require resources is can be very pure. It also can be disguised. It can also be disguised sense gratification. Because one may be praying for resources to devotional service, but one is has the covert motive of becoming famous as a great devotee, or having nice facility to live in the name of it is for Krishna. So if one asks for things for Krishna with the idea, just as Prabhupada mentions, one should not offer nice foodstuffs to Krishna with the aim of enjoying them himself. So that's a covert way that we can disguise sense gratification as Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we're trying to cheat Krishna, or we only become cheated. So one has to be careful. Okay? Yes, Mani Manjari.
I have a question really on the depth of the problem. I would like to know if we are thinking that we are this body, then we are thinking that we see and feel and hear through the eyes of the body and through the ears of the body. And if we're thinking, if we are the mind, then we experience everything through the mind. But is it that actually all these things happen because of the presence of the soul? So it's therefore that it's the soul who's hearing, seeing and feeling. And is it therefore that for the soul actually there is no gross, no subtle, that only Krishna and his varieties of energies, because for the body and mind there are many distinctions.
If I use this, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. So first of all, if this body and mind, the senses are utilized in Krishna's service, then I'm seeing and experiencing through these instruments. They're like instruments. It's like using this body for Krishna's service is no different from using a pair of pliers in Krishna's service, or a cooking pot in Krishna's service, or an arti lamp in Krishna's service. It's an instrument, and that's Krishna's energy, and I'm using it in Krishna's service. That's all. So this is an instrument of perception. What happens when we become pure devotees is that I don't think of this body or this mind as me or as mine. It's Krishna's. And Prabhupada says that when we become pure, he says, Krishna directly controls the senses of the devotee. Doesn't matter. If the senses of the body are being used in Krishna's service, then it doesn't matter. They're the same as the senses of the soul. They're completely allied together. Both senses, all senses that we have access to. He controls my eyes. If I'm preaching to Krishna consciousness here in the material world, then Krishna controls the tongue of the devotee.
But then what about the crowns? I mean, how are they? I mean, isn't it that Krishna is the only controller? Is it only because they don't know Krishna that Krishna is the controller?
Well, Krishna is controlling their senses too, but he's controlling it through the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, the mode of goodness in an indirect way. But for a devotee, he controls directly. So his senses become part of the internal potency. Even though it's the same sense, you'll not be able to see the difference from the external point of view. But one is acting in the internal potency, one is acting in the external potency.
Then the difference is only in your consciousness of someone. Where is the difference?
The difference is how it's being used. Prabhupada says the difference between matter and spirit is the way something is being used. If it's used for sense gratification, it's material. If it's being used for Krishna's service, it's spiritual. I don't know what other difference we want. It's difference enough, huh? If we get that far, we're doing really good. We also have the spiritual body has its own senses. Those senses have developed materially now for sense gratification. Therefore, we have these, what we call the material senses. Oh, now we run out of time. Sorry.